Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tailgaters Barbecue Tailgate Show. Sorry, we got a couple of technical difficulties going on here, so trying to get those solved. We got some bad weather coming around and messing up with our connection here. So, hope everybody had a great weekend out there, closing out the Labor Day holiday. We're going to do a little 30-minute show tonight so we can talk a little college football and kind of recap things. Okay, sorry about that. Getting some feedback there. I think we got that squared away. But we got a couple folks listening tonight. No Labor Day holiday here. Probably wrapping up those little barbecue Monday out there. Maybe grilling some steaks or doing some barbecue and finishing off this three-day weekend. Hope you had a good weekend out there, though. Wasn't a good weekend as far as I was concerned, quite honestly. But my Gamecocks took it on the chin Thursday night, and we didn't have a very good outing at the Richmond Sales Club, but did have a good time. We met some nice folks up there. So a lot of competitions going on in the state of South Carolina, actually, over the weekend. We had a competition over there in Myrtle Beach, KCBS event. And then we also had one down in Charleston, kind of close by there, another KCBS. Kind of going off the top of my head, though, I think perhaps go to Warren County Sports Office for the event in Myrtle Beach, take the grand champion, and of course, congratulations to Pioneer Smokehouse, taking the GC down there in Charleston. I think it was called Low Country something, I think. But congrats to both those teams taking home the hardware in those two weekends. Cook-offs. We were up there at the Sands Club Regional Championship and didn't have a real good cook, quite honestly. I thought it wasn't too bad, but the judges didn't seem to like it. That was one of the few times we've ventured away from the South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina area, and the flavor profiles were definitely a lot different up there. So we didn't have a real good cook, but nonetheless, glad we qualified and got to experience that opportunity again. Maybe we'll get another shot next year. But congrats to those top 10 teams that got the call and punched their ticket for Bentonville, Arkansas. But as you know, also we call this the Barbecue Tailgate Show. So we get into the fall. We like to talk some college football, and quite honestly, for probably the state of South Carolina, the two major teams, South Carolina and Clemson. It wasn't a good weekend. Of course, the Gamecocks really taking it on the chin Thursday night from Texas A&M, a game that quite honestly weren't really ever in. A&M kind of controlled it from start to finish. There were a couple little glimmers of hope there. The Gamecocks trying to get in the game, but Texas A&M would pretty much put the foot in the gas and take off and extend that lead. And then on Saturday, the the Tigers stayed kind of close there in the first half, but the Bulldogs really put the foot down in the second half. The Georgia's running attack is probably the best in the country. Troy Gurley, obviously, with a couple more games like that, will be a probably one of your top five guys to look at, for Heisman Trophy. Had a great game. I think he had somewhere upwards of 180-plus yards, plus he had a 100-yard kickoff return as well for Georgia that really was a big play in the game. But Georgia looked real good. That offense was solid, and that defense made some great plays. Really could have been a little worse. I think Georgia scored toward the end of the game, had a penalty that called it back. But quite honestly, Clemson in the second half just wasn't there. And, again, same thing with the Gamecocks on Thursday night. Just offense played okay, but the defense was just very very anemic, not much pass for us, which allowed the quarterback from A&M to Johnny Football number two. I think he's a good player. I don't know if he's as good as what we made him look, but he sure looked good Thursday night. But even when he was in trouble, he completed some big passes. And unfortunately, our tackling was about as poor as we've seen in the Spurrier era. I don't think that the outcome of the game would have changed, but it sure would have been nice to see us get some of those third down stops when we actually had them stopped and let a guy break a tackle a couple of times and turn it over, turn it into a first down. So Gamecocks have a lot of improvement to do, and I saw we're taking one game at a time. So I know we got some folks out there that are probably ready to jump off the cliff, but let's watch these first 2-3 games and see what kind of adjustments and changes in personnel can be made, and see what happens. But a good start to college football. These kickoff classic games are getting to be more popular. So we had some other pretty entertaining games out there. Alabama kind of finally pulled away at the end and put away West Virginia. See, that game was in Atlanta. And then, of course, we had LSU and Wisconsin. That was a heck of a ball game there. LSU basically trailed for most of the game. And then was able to score the last 21 or 24 points and pull ahead of Wisconsin and get the win there. So that was a heck of a ball game there. Two pretty well balanced teams going at it, and LSU. If I remember, I think they actually faked they faked a punt. They really got the momentum going, and I think on that drive, I believe they actually kicked the field goal. And then scored the next three touchdowns to put themselves ahead and put that game away. So big win for LSU to get the season started. For those guys, some other games. Auburn kind of struggled there against Arkansas in the second half, but they got it going and put the Razorbacks away in that the other SEC battle. Had a lot more. Conference matchup to start the season. A lot of times you see teams starting with one or two non-conference and then getting the conference, but a little bit more conference matchups, which I think gets the start of the season a little more exciting. Another nice non-conference matchup, a good game, and Oklahoma State, good ball game there for a while, but Florida State was able to take care of the Cowboys in that game, so they've started there. Quest to defend their national championship. So I think we've got our man blowing smoke calling in here. Let me see if I can pull him up real quick here. Lee, you there, sir?
Yeah, buddy. What's going on?
Good, man. Appreciate you calling in. We got a bunch of storms out of our area here, and a little trouble getting up to speed here. I think it's kicking the internet here. So, but I think we've got things going. Just talking a little bit about this weekend's competitions. We had a couple here in the state of South Carolina, and of course the Sam's Club up there in Richmond. And then, of course, as we get into the fall, we're going to try to talk a little more college football. But like I mentioned, we're not only Gamecock fans, but Tiger fans. We don't have a lot to talk about that's good to talk about this weekend. So we'll have to wait for next weekend to see if we've got something to hang our hats on. So, you know, I had to look at the schedule. I'm not sure who Clemson's got up for game two. And, of course, the Gamecocks got East Carolina, which is certainly no pushover. East Carolina has a heck of an offense and will be a team that's going to try to move it up and down the field. So that defense is going to get tested again. I think Clemson's got a non-conference as well, but I don't think it's a real strong opponent. So the Tigers will probably put one in the win column this weekend. They're licking their wounds as well from this weekend. So, you a big college football fan? Lee, did you take any games this weekend? Or?
Yeah, I watched almost three quarters of the Carolina game, and I went to bed, and then watched Clemson get the crap beat out of them. That was a good day, and I actually watched the East Carolina game just to see what Carolina was going to be up against this weekend, and I'm worried about it, to be honest with you. I'm not I wasn't impressed Thursday. I'll just put it that way. And East Carolina is not a slouch team. It's like Vanderbilt used to be treated, but they're not a. I mean, it's not like they're playing South Carolina State or Benedict. You know what I mean? They're East Carolina's got a good team, and they.
They got a very good team. So go ahead. Yeah, they're good. I think they were 10-3 last year. I think they won their bowl game, I believe, and got a lot of guys back. And the coach there is, I think he's probably in his maybe fourth year, maybe fifth, and starting to get a lot of his own players in there, and got some probably fourth and fifth year seniors there, and build some team unity. So they're going to be a team that's going to want to throw it around a lot. And obviously, Gamecocks didn't do very well with the passing attack. It was, Texas A&M pretty much passed it well on us. And I will say we didn't do good
against the run either.
No, it wasn't good at anything, yeah. They pretty much did about anything they wanted to for the most part. We very anemic on the defensive line and couldn't do anything like for that matter, but the tackling was just extremely poor. I think that we might have had some I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the game, but at least had some more third down stops if we could have wrapped the guy up and taken him to the ground. But unfortunately, to Texas A&M's credit, they slipped tackles and broke tackles, and that's why they put 52 on the board there. So something we haven't seen in a long time, quite honestly, a team to really handle the Gamecocks like that. So, but thankfully, it's just one game, so. I'm sure those guys will be in coaches will be working hard this week and making some adjustments and probably a couple personnel changes, I think, to get some guys in there that can get the job done. So hopefully we'll see better results this Saturday, because then obviously the Bulldogs will be rolling in the next week. And those guys, they got the week off, so they've got a week to pretty much kind of take it easy and get prepared. So, and they looked very good in their game. Game was somewhat close in the first half, but the Dogs really put it on them in the second half. Their rushing attack is probably going to be one of the best in the country, I think, this year. With Gurley and those three guys. They got two freshmen as well that are in there, and they're really good. Offensive line is good, and they can move it down the field, so that's gonna be a tough one. But that's why they play the games. You never know what's gonna happen. So hopefully we'll see a lot of improvement this week before we have to face the Bulldogs.
I hope so. I don't know if I thought it may be the barbecue they'd been eating lately that made them do that. But I mean, there ain't a whole lot you can do about that when you got local people serving them. So It'd be more hiring somebody from out of town than they were doing that, but at least it's local barbecue.
Well, it was so good they ate so much is what happened. I think they put on too many pounds. We're moving slow out there.
It must all went to their feet.
Yeah. They had a little out of care sending that box around, didn't it? Good Lord. It was sad looking. Yeah, there's a lot of good games on college football. There was some other good action we talked about. The Alabama game some of the games, unfortunately, I didn't get to see some because we were driving down the road. I was kind of picking up on the radio, following some of them. But Bama West Virginia was a good game there for a while, and really kind of went down the fourth quarter, and Bama finally put them away just by 10 points. So good ball game there. And, of course, the LSU or Wisconsin game, LSU they trailed pretty much most of the game, and Wisconsin kind of in control. And then LSU faked a punt and was able to – I don't think they actually scored a touchdown drive. I think they kicked a field goal, but then they scored in the next 2-3 possessions and pulled ahead and ended up winning that game. So that was a heck of a game. And, of course, you had the game to really kind of an interesting game. I think the Penn State game kicked off about 9:30 or something, Penn State and Central Florida. And great start to, the Saturday college football. I think Central Florida scored with about a minute and a half to go to take the lead. And then Penn State goes down, drives down. I think they kick a last-second field goal. Ooh, they won 26-24 or 24-22 maybe. So heck of a football game. A little redemption for Penn State because Central Florida having a great year last year. They obviously lost one game, which was to the Gamecocks, and then they won won their BCS bowl game. And they actually went up to Penn State last year and beat Penn State in Happy Valley, but Penn State got the revenge. So that's two unbelievable ball games between those kind of an unusual non-conference matchup, Penn State and Central Florida, but kicked off the Saturday afternoon well as well. So I see you did some. Did you have a pretty good weekend with? So you kind of did some tailgating, barbecue, to go stuff. Did that go pretty good for you up with the game Thursday?
I had four or five people come and get some orders. You know, it was my first time doing it and my first time offering for Labor Day. And we seem to do pretty good. I think I'll do it again for the next holiday. I got people asking me about turkeys for Thanksgiving, so I'm going to have to figure out how to smoke one of them. And I got a guy down in Aiken. I'm going to talk to him about it. You may know him. He comes up here a lot. I was going to actually see the Florida game where it was delayed like 2.5 hours because of lightning, and then they got one play off and ran it back like 60 yards, tackled him, and then they stopped the game again for lightning again.
Yeah, good point. And I have not seen the announcement. That game was actually, like you said, postponed because of the weather, and I don't think they've made an announcement yet. I know they – announced or set that October 25th was the was an open date for both teams, but I haven't seen the announcement yet. I know there's a lot of logistics you got to work out and this, that, and the other. I'm sure it's happened a couple of times, but I don't think there, you know, I think the couple of times it's happened, I think were due to obviously weather again, probably hurricane. Maybe back, I think, in 9/11, I think we had a couple of situations with some games. Maybe didn't get replayed, but yeah, that was quite interesting, wasn't it? That game, because of the lightning and all. And so now I haven't seen them make the announcement yet. If that game will be completed, so it really have a lot of bearing on things. But it was kind of. I remember the Gamecocks. I've actually been involved in two of those. The North Carolina game last year, we had which was really like a storm blew in there. And delayed that game for a couple of hours, and then luckily the game was able to be started back. And then the Carolina Georgia back about 8-9 years ago was delayed for not quite as long. I want to say about an hour and a half for rain and lightning. And I remember that game vividly. The Andrew Pinnock, Gamecock running back, who had a great career and played in the pros. I think he played at San Diego, but. Carolina drove down to the base of the end zone, about 2-3 yards out, and set up a pitch play, and they pitched it to Pinnock. It was just a perfect pitch, and he just dropped the ball. I mean, all he had to do was just grab it both hands. He literally walked in the end zone, and the Gamecocks ended up losing it. I remember that one well. That was Kathy's niece. Got married, and of course, I always tell people my thing with weddings during football season is send a nice present. It was at the wedding, and I was at the football game. So,
that was Kathy's fault.
That was Kathy's fault, exactly. That's gonna be interesting. I'll be interested to see if they get that game replay, because I'm sure with Florida they probably that open day they have that's in the conference got about two or three more games to go, and I'm sure that's gonna be critical. They like to have that open date right there, so I'll be interested to see what they do about that one.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. And did you watch the Tennessee show yesterday when they played that high school team?
Yeah. That was a show. Yeah, Utah State had had some in the past couple of years that they had put some scares in his D1 teams, and I was hoping for a little bit better game, but boy, they didn't prove to be much of an opponent. Tennessee kind of, well, they jumped out like 14-0 with, like I said, it wasn't 5 minutes gone in the game, I think it was. I was kind of looking forward to a good game to watch, and then boom, like gone. And it was never close. I mean, Tennessee just moved it up and down the field on them. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, Utah State kind of stopped themselves in the foot a lot. Third down conversions, couldn't do anything. And, Tennessee, big win for those guys. But I'm not sure how good Utah State really was. I mean, this is the kind of thing I think you got to watch the first two, three games and see what happens. So just like the Carolina game, I don't know if we were that bad. Texas A&M that good or a combination, and same thing with Tennessee. I'm not sure if they're that good or if Utah State's that bad, but maybe it's a combination of both. We'll see what happens. I just pulled up, and I don't think they have made an announcement yet about that game. I guess they're still mulling about that October 25th. And the weird thing about it was, but just reading in there, it's amazing how much these teams are paid. It says Idaho was set to be paid $975,000 to travel nearly 3,000 miles, but according to UF officials, details including financial and logistics continue to be discussed. So I don't know. I guess that's the thing about it. Do they pay them X amount for that one, or, you know, the contractual thing? How much do they get paid even though the game wasn't completed? And then if they play them again, they pay them, I don't think they can pay them another $900,000. That'd be something. So, I guess that's the reason for it's not as easy as we think, just because they have two open dates to reschedule. So many things behind the scenes have to happen, especially with that money thing. I mean, I know it's a large amount, but that's something I hadn't even thought about, though. But, man, $1 million, that's a pretty good little chunk to have to fork out again for a team to come. So, another interesting stat.
Get that kind of money to play, and they don't pay those players a dime.
Well, I know. Yeah, I mean, it's the amount of money in college football, and you figure now with, like, the SEC Network, and, of course, that's not anything really new. It's just the SEC's making a big deal out of it, and, of course, the SEC really has been kind of whether you love them or hate them, the SEC is kind of a dominant conference in football or almost in all sports, quite honestly. It's amazing, the amount of money there. And, of course, you know, Texas Longhorns got their own network, and the Big Ten's got a network, and that's the coming thing, and that's just additional revenue coming into these schools. It's almost like a professional atmosphere, you know, at the college level, quite honestly. I mean, that's a lot of money flowing through there.
It is, and the NCAA won't let them work, so they ought to get paid something.
I see both sides of it. You know, I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to keep things on a level playing field and want to make things fair. And I know that the problem they see is the bigger schools will, you know, because they'll have more money coming in, they can do more stuff and all. I don't know how you control it, but, you know, I don't think, but the bottom line is you're penalizing these players. You got to do something. So if you're not going to pay them, then you need to change the rules and let these kids work or have some different deal that's done. I'm not sure what the answer is other than they need to change what they got in place. There's no doubt about that. There needs to be something. These kids are – I mean, I'm fortunate to know a pretty good amount of high school coaches that tailgate with us and know a lot of the college coaches that have come through South Carolina. that I befriended. And, you know, so many of these kids, quite honestly, man, they come from absolutely nothing. And, you know, for instance, I know some of the programs, they, you know, it's a big deal. They want them to be properly dressed. And so all of a sudden they get their football gear and warm-up suits and all, but some of them, like these guys that wear coat and ties. And, you know, and some of these guys, man, they don't even have a coat and tie. They can't afford it. They really can't. And it's kind of sad. I mean, I hear some of the stories about some of these kids that come to college, and, man, they don't – man, they ain't got a car. They can't afford a coat and tie, you know, like, you know, meals. I mean, it's amazing. So, I mean, I agree with you. There's got to be – I don't know what the exact answer, but they're going to have to do something. Something's going to have to happen, and that's why you're probably – I know some of the stuff is obviously a violation, or some of the stuff's crazy, or these big-time players, things that happened in the past, money they're giving them, whatever. But some of the stuff, you know, like some of these kids, they, you know, they gave them an improper transportation, or took them to the airport too many times, or, you know, something like that. It gets a little ridiculous. I mean, I'd hate to be a coach and a kid come to me and say, "Coach, I mean, I don't have any money, you know, to go get anything to eat this weekend," or whatever it may be. I mean, man, I mean, I'd have to give the kid $10 or something. I couldn't let the kid not eat, or you feel bad for him. Well, hey, you know, the kid wants to go see his family, doesn't have a car, and, you know, wants to take a bus. I mean, we give the kid $25 or whatever. I mean, it's a tough thing, and some of it probably is still going on. You know what? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, really, but they don't, like I said, we'd have to do something to change this. So. Absolutely.
I agree with you 100%, and I think they should get paid something. Let's talk about barbecue. Let's talk about cooking in Virginia.
Let's go. I can tell you this. I've cooked there once, and I've cooked there my final time in the same weekend. I just didn't know it was my final time until I got my score sheet, and then I found out it was my final time.
Somebody, I think Chick Swine and Bovine, they were cooking with you, weren't they?
Yeah, Chick Swine and Bovine was there, yep.
They posted the score sheet, you know, congratulating the top 10 that moved on, and I commented about how low the scores were, and somebody commented after me and said, "If you think those are low, you should go further up in the Northeast." I said, "I don't know what's going on with these scores."
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it really was. Like I said, I don't think we had an outstanding cook. There were just a couple of things I knew and that I didn't like what some of my stuff was turning out. But, man, I mean, I really didn't expect the scores I got. And then after I look at the, like we said, the whole picture, I mean, just the scores as a whole were low. And then the talk to talk to Waylon up there, who, you know, a couple of judges came out and he just struck up a conversation or, you know, whatever. And just some of the comments by their judges, you know, like the one I told you were, you know, they were commenting about they were really psyched about, you know, coming and eating the pork that day, and they were disappointed. And the guy pointed out, you know, somebody had turned some in, and it was, you know, to a couple of people had mentioned that it was like the best pork, you know, they'd ever had, but they scored him down because it had that mahogany color. And so, you know, the way they'll ask the guy, like, "Well, what's wrong with that?" You know, and he never really got a response.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, because mine wasn't off the chain taste-wise, and I'm like, "Well, damn, that's what mine looked like." I mean, so I guess I got scored down because I always had it had a nice clean, it had a nice shine to it in the box. It looked really good. So, obviously, they didn't like that. I know that now. So, but yeah, just, you know, just he had a couple other comments, you know, from the judges as well. Just, you know, they were just their general outlook on how they were going to judge things that day. And instead of judging the box on its merit or, you know, as you just ate, it was like they, you know, the best of all time. And since it didn't hit the highest mark, I mean, it's almost like you got penalized instead of, "Well, that's still very good. I need to score it well." But it was either like, "This is the best ever," or "We're nailing you because it didn't what we thought. We thought it'd be a lot better than this." And I'm like, "Well, golly, that was some pretty good teams up there. I don't know how you can go that way." Yeah, you know, that's one of the first times, you know, and I don't know, you know, because we went all the way out to Vegas, because that's all the way on the other side of the country, and, you know, quite honestly, I mean, I'd done probably a little research, you know, talking to people. The only thing I got was, you know, they like it a little spicier out there, and, of course, we didn't change the thing drastically, but, you know, we changed a little bit, and I guess it helped out. We did fairly decent. But I do know in Vegas there was maybe not a ton, but just like from the cooker aspect, there were some judges from different parts of the country. I mean, we talked to a guy one night that was from Illinois, and he was just a retired guy. And, man, he just – I guess just like a referee getting going to the Super Bowl, you know. He was excited to get the chance to go judge at the, you know, World Barbecue Championship. So you do get some guys in from other parts, but mainly from the West Coast. So. And I don't know any Sam things. Is it kind of like that, or they really just get mainly the regional guys? I mean, judging by the scoring from the comments, it looks like it was more mainly regional. I had probably three or four come by, and the judges were nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's anything, you know. It's all about the flavor profile and so forth. But we had three or four stop by, and it was really nice. They're kind of like, hey, just want to say hello. You know, congratulations for being here. You know. Where were you from? Hey, have a safe trip home. That was really nice. Of course, I don't know if I would really say anything to them afterwards after the way they scored my barbecue, but they were nice just beforehand, though. But, yeah,
what stings more than, you know, how you got judged was to hear how well Gene did on top of that. And that's, you know, something's wrong in the barbecue world when something like that happens.
I should have gone to Charleston, and then they would have shown me a South Carolina brother, a little love, you know.
Your boy Carter Q and got second in port for his first KCBS.
I saw that. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
good
for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Tisa. Even especially after Gene electrocuted her.
happened with that? I saw something. I forgot to ask him. He called me. We were coming back from Virginia, and he called me just to see where we're at or whatever. And then I don't remember what I saw on Facebook, but what was the deal with that? Was I seeing like some almost like battery clamps or something on the trailer? What was he doing?
He said that, and I don't understand this either. But I guess the power lines above the trailer had so much voltage running through them that it was causing his trailer to conduct. And the trailer wasn't grounded, you know, because it's a trailer. So it looked like he put a grounding rod in the ground and then clamped the battery cables to his trailer and into the grounding rod. He said that helped a lot, but Tisa could still feel it in her feet.
God almighty.
I said, I'd have had them move me before they fried everything in the trailer.
That's pretty wild. I've never heard that's pretty wild there. Yeah, I saw that on there, so I was wondering. Man, I got another caller here. I didn't even see this guy. Hang on a second, Leah. 281-300, we got you on the line.
Yeah, this is Steve Williams in Houston with IBCA. I'm the pit boss for Third Coast
down here on the
Gulf Coast. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing good, man. Do you call in to West Texas sometimes, Pitmasters over there?
Yeah, every once in a while, try and make my way around, but I haven't been doing much calling. I got down on my back and just gave up on it all for a little while, but I'm starting to get back in the swing of things and figured I'd call and see what was happening.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. I call in and talk to West Texas there sometimes, kind of interesting. I know it's a little different over there. I think I know there's no garnish there. I know they allow actually aluminum foil inside the container, I believe. And I think most of the chicken is leg quarters, I think, is turned in, correct?
No, sir, it's half a chicken. Unless it's a cook over 50 cooks, and then we go to a whole chicken.
Okay. And that's two separate halves that are put in there?
Yes, sir. It doesn't have to be connecting. And we do allow garnishing, but that's usually on things other than brisket ribs and chicken. We're just now starting to get into pork butt, so we've taken it away from pork butt. If you have wild game, a seafood, a dessert, something like that, you can garnish, you know, whatever you turn in any way you want to. But the three main meats of brisket ribs and chicken, we don't.
Yeah,
how many judges are at a table in that?
We start out at 5, and on the final table we go to 7. So we depending on the size of the cook-off, we've had up to 30 tables before to get everybody through it.
Wow.
Now, tell me about that process a little bit, the final table. Is that kind of like MIM, or is it a little bit different? Is it still a troop, just still blind judging, or how does that work?
Still blind judging all the way through the very end. When we stand up on the stage and get 10th or 15th place box and rip a tag off of it and call the number out, we don't know who the winner is until he comes up and gives me a matching ticket.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's completely blind all the way through.
That's pretty cool. I haven't really ever talked too much about that. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it's a little bit different out here. Lone Star's got a little bit different way of doing things. Texas Gulf Coast is pretty much the same way we are. A couple of the other Central Texas, I haven't really heard much on them, but they don't do a whole lot. West Texas, don't really talk to them a whole lot to get a lot of processes out of them. But, you know, we're held by a body out of Dallas, so, you know, we're pretty much told what we need to do.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Now, your turn in. What are your turn in times? And is it 30 minutes like KCBS, or is it an hour?
Actually, depends on how many teams are out there. If it's 25 teams or less, we go to an hour. If we're pushing 50, we go to an hour and a half. If it's over 50, we go to 2 hours.
Wow.
And we'll try and do some on Friday evenings if we can. You know, depending on what the promoter wants to do.
Wow. So it just varies contest to contest then on that.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we shot, of course, a 10-minute window before and after. Say if we got turned in at noon on chicken, we'll give you 10 minutes before to 10 minutes after to turn it in, so you get a 20-minute window.
Yeah, SCBA is like that. South Carolina Barbecue is like that.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but our turn-in usually for pork is at 10 o'clock, so it's from 9:50 to 10:10. And then that's usually the only meat that they concentrate on. If there's ribs, they'll do it at 11. So,
yeah. You'd think you'd turn them around.
Yeah, yeah. You would, and we've said that, but what do we know? We just cook.
I know. You're just the ones that make it happen. But anyway.
If we could get Ultimate Tailgaters to start voicing his opinion a little bit, they'd probably listen because he's famous. Yeah, he's talking to people from Texas right now, and he don't know.
That's probably why they're not doing anything. I'm saying too much, more likely. That's probably what's happening. We
there
do
you
have
go.
A couple back bass awkward things going on, though, I think. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the old thing. Just keep having at it. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Right.
That's pretty
but,
cool.
You know, given any time, something's going to change. Somebody's not going to like it, or somebody's going to get drunk and say that you were drunk when you were judging. So it's half a dozen of another. You never know.
That's right. And what type of cooker do you have that you cook on? In one year, a couple?
Mine's the sticks. I got two stick burners and Backwoods. And my stick burners were made by Close here in town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
nice stuff.
He's got nice stuff.
Yeah, he does. He's proud of it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's like anything else. You know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that is true. They got a new guy here in town. He started out as three or four other companies just working in their shop, and they may have made their way out there or not. They're a backwoods spinoff, but they're called Pitmasters. And they're starting to really get thick here in Texas.
You're not talking about Victor?
You're talking about Pitmaker?
Is it Pitmaker or Pitmaster?
Victor? Victor,
yeah.
What?
Yeah,
yeah, Pitmaker.
Hispanic guy.
I think he's, man, he's always on TV, too. Plus, you know, winning that World Food Championships with his stuff didn't hurt him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They've got some, I've met those guys both times out in Vegas. I cooked up right within 50 foot of them. And, but nice guys, man, they had some unbelievable units. I mean, maybe not as much on the barbecue, even though the obviously the smokers were nice, but he had one out there, I guess he was kind of demoing or showing people that had not one, not two, but three 50-inch plasma TVs built into it that with a touch of a button, they rise up. I mean, it was unbelievable. Sound system. I mean, it was quite a unit. But they build, you know, not only obviously, you know, quality smokers, but they build some pretty expensive toys, I guess, for lack of, I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, just unbelievable units. Somebody wants to, I guess, for companies want to do entertainment or tailgating, whatever it is, man, they can put it together, no doubt.
Yeah, David Close, I think, put the first one together on a 55-foot bed and then ended up making it 10 feet longer because somebody matched it and the guy did. He wanted to have the world's biggest barbecue pit, but it had walk-in cooler. It had one side of the cab on the sleeper that would fold down, and it had a 60-inch HDTV in it. Beer taps all along the side. I mean, they had it working.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, it's y'all's cook-offs. What's the, Texas is obviously known, you know, a lot of stick burners, all day. Is it primarily stick burners out there, or is it a lot of gravity fed, or is it kind of 50-50? What do you think the makeup is? If put a number
the
on
the makeup is probably 80% stick burners. Then gravity fed and your pellet cookers are starting to come in, but you know, people aren't liking the pellet cookers. They think that, you know, it's not true barbecue if you don't have to sit there and, you know, take the good with the bad on your temperature and have to work with it. And, gravity fed, I think, is pretty neat. You could be off on your feet of your charcoal, at least that's what I'm calling the gravity fed, is I've seen gravity fed charcoal down here, and it's pretty neat.
What, any particular brands, is the stumps, any people with stumps out there, or is there a particular brand that maybe we're not familiar with up here in Texas they're building?
Let's see, there's, who's that guy up in Dallas? Jimbo? Jambo's?
Yeah.
He is one of the first ones to come out with insulated pits. I mean, fully insulated. And that was a stick burner beside that. You don't have to take one or two big logs with you, and you can cook a brisket.
Wow.
Nice.
And it would, you know, have refrigerator-style doors on it and just hold temp forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in our area. Those are getting to be the gravity fed, or like you said, for lack of a better word, refrigerator type cookers. And then the more the insulated walls and all are getting to be kind of the more popular. You see a fair amount of stick burners roll around. Lang down in South Georgia, he does a nice offset reverse flow, and Bubba Grills is pretty big. Cookers and grills. You got a pretty good mix. I mean, there's still some still some, a lot of the old timers or folks that like that stick burner, because obviously Whole Hog and Boston Butt's really popular in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. And of course, on these gravity fed, of course, they are making the pretty big units, but you know, obviously for you know, for cooking like Whole Hog and so forth, you got to have you know usually a stick burner. So
yeah,
we still see those.
Well, when I cook my hogs, I've got just a round piece of pipe, and the whole top half lifts off. In the bottom, I got troughs, and I put 20 pounds of charcoal down one, 20 pounds of charcoal down the other on the farthest side, and put a couple pieces of wood on it, and then just lay my pig out, start the fire on each end, and just let it go all night long. And I don't even have to touch it.
Huh.
You know, the fire meets in the middle.
Yeah. Cool. That's neat. Now, how many contests you probably do per year, or
on average? FBA or me?
So just you in general,
FBA
or
me?
You.
I'm starting to get back into cooking, but I was judging 20 to 30 a year.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. But before that, I was cooking 20, 25 a year.
God.
And that was just in the Houston area. So, I mean, we got a lot going on in the Houston area. We don't have to travel far unless, you know, somebody's coming up with some big money, like that Hicka cook-off they had last year, Hill Country cook-off.
Right, yep.
And people are starting to see how much money and the – visual aspects of a barbecue contest. You know, it's a new dog and pony show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, in South Carolina, the other guy, Lionel Lee, Blowing Smoke cooking team, we cook a fair amount of SCBA, and basically their premise is that you know, every contest is done, you know, whoever's doing it, whatever the town or wherever it's at, it benefits some type of charity, whether
right.
it be Boy Scouts or hospice or cancer, you know what I mean? It's amazing some of these bigger organizations, the amount of volunteers they got, you know, the planning and all, and how big they can make it, and the actual money that's raised, you know, from these cook-offs. I mean, there's some little South Carolina, you know, you talk about a, you know, as you know, I could probably, you know, get there Friday and, you know, by midday Saturday, wrap it up, and there's people raising, you know, upwards $25,000
to $50,000. Oh, I know it.
Yeah, you know, in a day and a half, and of course, you know, I say a day and a half. They've obviously, you know, got some sponsors and all, you know, the previous, but man, all the people flowing through, sampling barbecue and selling wristbands or, you know, whatever it may be. It's if it's done right. You know, I tell you, there's a lot of money can be raised.
There's a lot of exactly.
To come and pay. The Houston Rodeo Cook-Off, isn't that one of the big ones down there?
Yeah, we average 380 to 400 cooks.
Wow.
Over a four-day period. But we only turn in one meat.
What meat?
Really?
Whichever one you want, brisket, ribs, or chicken, and I think they're getting ready to slide pork in. If you know, but I don't see how you can judge a brisket against a chicken against a slab of ribs. Personally.
You can't.
But they do use Kansas City style of judging instead of our style of judging, and so I think that takes into more of a percentage type win instead of a solid number win. So, you know, if you can feather it in a little bit more. I don't believe in it, but that's the way they do it.
Well, that's, I had no idea that's how they did that. I just kind of read up on it in general and the winners and so forth. But that's interesting. Right? So you're turning in whatever you think the do you have to declare for the contest? In other words, I'm cooking chicken, or some guys cook two or three things, and then they kind of decided, like, you know what, my man, my chicken's on today. That's what I'm going to turn in.
No, you bring your best bet, and they tag it. They tag two pieces of meat, to be briskets, ribs, or chickens. They can't be a mix.
I got you. So you got interesting.
But,
wow. That's something new I learned there. Wow.
No, not a penny to be had either. Trophy only. And a
what?
Straight shot to Jack, not a penny to be had, but a straight shot to Jack Daniels if you win it.
Oh, really?
Got just a pride factor in that invite, yeah.
Exactly.
What's your favorite? Do you have a meat of choice? All three, or do you got one you prefer?
I seem to do good on all of them, but my last cook-off, I didn't even hit final table on ribs, which really surprised me. But I guess my chicken and my brisket do best for me.
Gotcha.
Huh.
Now, do they prefer burnt ends out there? Do most people turn it in, or is it straight slices, or what's the rule of thumb?
Straight slices. Straight slices, no burnt ends. You can pre-trim the brisket before you cook it, but you can't trim it to fit the trays afterwards. If they're longer than the trays, you have to wrap them around the sides of the trays.
What? So they got to see them. It's cooked on both ends then.
Exactly.
Wow.
Is it the I'm trying to remember my buddy at West Texas there. Was he telling me that aren't the slices supposed to be a particular thickness? Is that IBCA where they got to be a particular thickness, or they score you down or something?
No, they don't score you down a point. They can kick you out. If you got some coming in at an eighth of an inch and some coming in at a half of an inch, obviously you can't cook worth a flip. Everybody.
Gotcha.
It's told that everybody has to be within a quarter and three-eighths, and that's an approximately. As long as they're all close to even size, we go ahead and accept them. But you're not docked any points at all for it.
I got you. Okay. Interesting. Well, that's interesting stuff there. Okay.
A little different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
cookers meeting. We definitely have to attend the cookers meeting at one of those.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I kind of want to come out there and try some of my cooking out there, see how I rate.
Well, come on.
Shit, may do it. Mama's giving me the okay to do it. She says you quit judging so much because I drag her with me every time, and she says you can go back to barbecue, and I said okay. You realize briskets are $4 a pound now. And she, okay, go.
They're cheaper out here.
Are they really?
Yeah, a little bit cheaper than that here.
Shit. We're paying $4 for a prime brisket, Black Angus.
Oh, well, that ain't bad. This ain't no prime Black brisket. This is a everyday restaurant brisket, but it's like $2.60 a pound, $2.80 a pound.
Yeah. Oh, that's real good. That's real good.
Now, with the brisket, it must everybody because it's so there's so much out there, and the Angus grade is so good. I mean, is that what most everybody's cooking? Does anybody cook Wagyu, or is everybody with the prime Angus and so forth?
We'll cook the prime Angus at the smaller cooks, and like for the Houston, the Hicko, San Antonio, the larger 200-plus cooks, they'll start bringing in the Wagyu.
Gotcha.
That's cool.
Well, that's some big contest, 200-plus teams.
But,
wow.
But do y'all cook a lot of briskets?
Well, and for us around here, of course, obviously, you know, the KCBS, obviously, you know, required, you know, I cook some KCBS. We got a pretty good amount of contests between South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina. So, but as far as like SCBA, South Carolina Barbecue, GBA, Georgia, Southern Barbecue, brisket's really, it's not a normal category. We're starting to see it pop up a little bit more in those sanctioning bodies. I believe down in Florida, I think FBA, I think they do it. But it's not as, mainly for South Carolina, the main two are usually definitely pork and then of course ribs. And then it's probably a split where some contests will do a chicken, some will do a brisket.
Right.
But yeah, you know, obviously not out there with you guys, where it, you know, it's pretty much, you see it obviously, all the time. So.
Yeah, no, I'm welcoming the pork butt. We all need something new. I mean, not that barbecuing for a lot of us, it ever gets old, but I would like to have something new to cook and a different way of turning it in, being garnished. You know, I'd like to be able to pick up a few extra points for garnishing, you know, instead of, you know, really it just, everybody says aftertaste, flavor, tenderness, all this other stuff. But when it basically comes down to it, is how good does it taste compared to what you tasted everywhere else?
Yep.
Right. True. Now the flavor profile out there is it kind of spicy like with Texas or is it sweet or is it kind of a mixture or what do you, from a judge's aspect, what do you see usually?
Okay, in East Texas it goes sweeter. Central Texas and down to the coast, it's a salt, pepper, garlic kind of a flavoring. Along Texas Gulf Coast where I am, from Beaumont down to Victoria and in about 100 miles, it's just flavor. You know, you can do a bunch of different levels of flavor, but, you know, I've got a blend that I use that's just a consistent, in your face flavor that's not too strong. You can't, you know, avoid it. And
right.
Then you get down to South Texas, they like it spicier. You know, that they use habanero powder on it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, they are taking it up a notch, aren't they?
Big time.
What about
what about
out in Nevada?
You know, I don't know. Y'all know better than I would.
I wouldn't. I've never been out there. Chris has been out there since it started.
Really?
Yeah, but yeah. I've never been. I'm going.
That's kind of a joke.
Get any pointers I can get.
It seems to be a little spicier from what I heard. And that's what we went spicier the second time, and it seemed to be in our favor. So I don't know if. We just called a better judge's table per se, or if that was accurate. But that's the rule of thumb I got from the cookers I talked to after the first year was that they tended to like it a little spicier out there. So.
Well, now, I mean, I eat habaneros instead of jalapenos, so spicy to one is
there
too
you
hard
go.
For another
that's
person. But
yeah,
I
right.
will use more habanero flavoring in my glazes in the winter, spring, and fall than I will during the summer. It's going to be not as complex during the summer, you know, so that they can taste more beef instead of seasonings.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Man, good stuff. Good
All right,
stuff.
Chris, I got to jump here, dude.
Yeah, hey, you too. My wife just came in and told me Dallas was on.
Yeah, we just our box anyway. Hey, buddy, how about you on Facebook?
Yeah, Bubba Q Cookers.
How about Double Q Cookers?
Bubba Q.
Bubba Q. If you're thinking about
Williams.
It, Ultimate Tailgaters Barbecue, shoot me a message. I'd like to converse with you back and forth a couple times. But I appreciate you calling in and sharing stuff. We always get a lot of folks South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, which is great. But we love to hear from people around the country. And this is some good stuff tonight. So I'd love for you to shoot me a note and love for you to call back in. I sure appreciate it, though. Thanks so much.
Hey, we'll do it. I'll get something off y'all. It was a pleasure meeting y'all.
Hey, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much. Appreciate you calling in, man. Sure, good stuff with us. Well, guys, it's been we've got our hour mark here and closed out Labor Day weekend. That's a good caller tonight. So we'll be talking with you folks next Monday. Got a couple contests in the Sacramento area. We're going to be talking about mainly the one up in Clover, the big SCBA cook-off. So hope everybody has a great week. Maybe it'll cool off a little bit for us here. Been a little hot. We'll get a little rain and all to make things a little easier. But appreciate everybody listening in tonight, and we're going to close it out with, you know what, my favorite, Go Cox. See you next week.